Today's scripture reading is John 5, verses 30 through 47. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Dare I say, probably quite confidently, that the majority of us were riveted to our TVs and even our phones, even more than usual, if that's possible, because of recent events. It was a highly anticipated event. It wasn't a new Marvel movie. It wasn't even who the Falcons was going to draft. We were riveted to our televisions and our phones, and our collective national attention was directed toward 12 men and women who served as the jury in the trial of Derek Chauvin, who was found guilty of murdering George Floyd. Many of us were anxious. Some of you couldn't sleep, couldn't work. All of us, to some degree or another, was hanging on the edge of our seats, waiting to hear the judgment of these 12 men and women. And those of us of a certain age, Brother Murph, will remember the anticipation and the national angst of the verdict that we awaited in the trial of O.J. Simpson. Question for you this morning: what is a jury's job? What is a jury's job? Well, a jury's job is to weigh the evidence. They are to listen to the arguments. They are to examine the evidence and the testimony of the witnesses, and having done so, to render a verdict. In the O.J. Simpson trial, the evidence and the testimony was clear. If it don't fit, you must acquit. In the case of Derek Chauvin, the testimony was, Pastor Phil, the tape don't lie. The tape don't lie. What did it take? What did it take to convince the jury in the O.J. Simpson case? It took a glove. What did it take to convince the jury And the Chauvin case took a video. Question. What witness, what evidence will it take this morning for people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? What will it take for you to truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? What did it take for those in Jesus' day to believe that Jesus was who he said he was? Jesus, this morning, in our text, presented testimony. Jesus had witnesses. And what we have in our text this morning is Jesus's witnesses. We have Jesus making the case for Jesus. We have Jesus offering up the testimony for Jesus. As we saw last week, John chapter 5 is an important account of not just the healing of a lame man, but even more so, it is the account of Jesus' self-disclosure as the Son of God, God the Son. And you remember, because of his healing of the lame man on the Sabbath, many of the religious leaders accused Jesus of violating Sabbath laws. But Jesus reminded them, you might remember, that God the Son works on the Sabbath just as God the Father does. As a result of this, many of you went home last Sunday and took a nap with the blessed assurance that while you slept, he who watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. Well, this morning, in the last portion of this discourse by Jesus, we listen and we learn as Jesus continue to speak to these religious leaders. And what he reminds us this morning is that his claims to deity are not the fanciful rantings of some cult leader like David Koresh, but rather his claims have been established and the evidence confirmed. This is the point that he is making to the religious leaders of the day, even by their own standards. The truth claims of Jesus hold up because of the testimony of the witnesses. Can I get a witness? Now, an interesting thing is, beloved, Jesus really doesn't need any more witnesses but his own. But in John chapter 5 and verse 31, Jesus understands that in their minds, just him saying it is not enough. He knows that they look for evidence. They look for witnesses. They look for signs. They want testimony. And Jesus understood this because Jesus understood and he knew what Deuteronomy 19 and 15 said. He knew that they knew what it said. He knew that it said that a thing is established by two or three witnesses. He knew that. He knew that they knew that. And so as far as they were concerned, matters of utmost importance required 2 or 3 witnesses. But the interesting thing, what Jesus told them, is that I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that there needs to be evidence and there needs to be testimony and witnesses that would bear witness to the truth that I am claiming. But he said, there's one who has already given witness to me. Right in verse 32, he says, there's one who has already given witness to me, and his witness and testimony is enough. Right? You recall when Jesus was baptized, when he came to John, and he was baptized, the Bible says in the account of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, that after Jesus came up out of the water, the voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus says, the Father gave testimony to me as a son, and that is enough. That really is enough. But notice what Jesus says in verse 37, chapter 5. He says, but since you have never heard the Father, but since you have never seen the Father, Jesus reminded them that God has nonetheless graciously provided other witnesses who truthfully and powerfully testify to the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. The Father is enough. But since you've never heard the Father, but since you've never seen the Father, there are witnesses whom you have heard. There are witnesses whom you have seen. And they testify to who I am. They always have, and they always will. There are 3 this morning that Jesus gives them. He doesn't just give the minimum of 2. He says, there are 3. There are 3 witnesses whom you have heard, whom you have seen, and they testify to who I am. The saints, the signs, and the Word of God. The saints, the signs, and the Word of God. As Jesus continued to speak, he said, I like to call my first witness, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And John the Baptist said, I speak nothing but truth. Notice what Jesus says in verse 33. Speaking to these religious leaders, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Here's a witness that you have heard. Here's a witness that you have seen. John the Baptist was one of their own, beloved. They knew John. They not only knew John, but they respected John and believed him to be a prophet from God. Many of them with Jesus that day, no doubt, had gone out to see John, had gone out to hear John, had gone out to watch John be to baptize and preach, and perhaps many of them may have been baptized by John himself. And yet, if they were listening carefully, Jesus tells them that John was not in it for John. John was all about Jesus. But the Bible says over and over again, in John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, John testified to the light of God. Speaking, he says, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. In other words, John was not the light. Jesus is the light. John chapter 1, verse 29, John testified to the coming Messiah. Chapter 1 and verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. John was not the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. John chapter 1 and verse 34, again, John testified to the Son of God. John says, and I have seen and have borne witness that this, speaking of Jesus, is the Son of God. John was not the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. All of these are the witnesses of John. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. He testified that Jesus is the light. He testified that Jesus is the Messiah. He testified that Jesus is the Son of God. This was his witness. They've heard him. This is a calling of all the saints this morning, beloved. Jesus here, interestingly enough, Jesus here reminds us of the calling of all saints this morning. He reminds us that human testimony, while not ultimate, is important. All saints, not just John, all saints have the privilege, beloved, and the responsibility of bearing witness for Jesus. But the Bible says, right, in 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This is the privilege of all the saints, to bear witness, to give testimony on the person and work of Jesus Christ, to be pointing people to Christ. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We preach Christ. We point people to Jesus. This is what made John such an effective witness, and why Jesus was so willing to call upon him. Here's a question. Would he be so willing to call upon you this morning? I mean, if he did, if the crowd was gathering around Jesus and they said, Jesus, we need some testimony, would he call your name this morning? If he did, what would be the testimony of those around you, beloved? Would they bear witness to your witness for Jesus? Could Jesus say that your witness is true? You do understand, beloved. It is not your job to convince people that Jesus is the Son of God. Only God can do that. Your job and my job is just to testify to the truthfulness of that claim in our lives. To point people to Jesus. Listen to me, listen to me. All over this country this morning, people are listening to men and women presupposing to preach, and yet they're doing nothing more than entertaining people with jokes, entertaining people with fun stories, entertaining people with happy tales of life and fortune, but very little Jesus. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, that it is through the foolishness of preaching that God saves people. Not through foolish preaching. Not through comic routines and fairy tales and our own opinions. But through the preaching of Jesus Christ, but through bearing witness and giving testimony to who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ came to do. Jesus Christ alone. This was the testimony of John the Baptist, beloved. And this is the testimony that Jesus called forth. He called forth someone who would testify to the fact that Jesus saves. And Jesus alone saves. This is the witness of all the saints this morning. It should be your witness. But then Jesus continued. And he said, I like to call my second witness, my miracles, or as the gospel calls them, his signs. Notice what it says in verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John. I'm ramping it up here. I was just getting started with John. I was just getting started with the saints. Human witnesses are not ultimate. I got a greater one than John, believe it or not. My teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. The miracles, beloved, which Jesus performed, they were not performed for entertainment purposes. He was not just showing off. He was not out to monetize his power and influence. These were the works of God, and they bore witness and testified to his deity. This is why miracles are called signs, beloved. Signs. That's what the Bible refers to them. In John chapter 2 and verse 11, when Jesus turned the water into wine, the Bible says that the miracle of turning the water into wine was the first of Jesus' signs. Signs. Testifying. Giving witness. Signs pointing to the presence of God, pointing to the power of God, pointing to the providence of God in his people's lives, pointing to the evidence and the reality that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the signs say. The signs say God is with you. This is why whenever Jesus is around, good things happen. This is why whenever Jesus was around, powerful things happened. Why? Because he is God with you. Human testimony is important. I don't want us to forget that. The witness of the saints is important. But what Jesus came to do, beloved, is even more telling. The work that he accomplished speaks a greater word even than that of John the Baptist. Points even more clearly to who he is. His miracles pointed to his divine power and authority. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples and they're fearing for their life because of the storm. And Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. And the disciples look and they ask the question, what manner of man is this? Why? Because the power of his miracle pointed to the power of God. What manner of man is this? What is this sign telling us about this man, Jesus? Remember what Nicodemus said in John chapter 3, in verse 2, when he comes to Jesus? And Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. The signs pointed to the presence and the power and the providence of God with his people. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus walking by the Jordan River, coming to be baptized by John. John didn't just see another baptismal candidate like the many of thousands he had seen before, but when he saw Jesus, he saw a sign. And the sign read, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what about the greatest sign of all? Our Lord and Savior on the cross. There, with the thorns on his brow, with his hands pierced, with the blood flowing down. The Bible says, at that moment, the sun refused to shine, and the earth began to quake and reel and rock like a drunken man. And the centurion looked up, and he said, surely, surely this is the Son of God. Beloved, the work of Christ in this world, or even the work of Christ in your life this morning, should serve as a constant reminder that he is who he says he is, the Son of the living God. So signs do. That's what miracles do. That's what miracles do. Now I understand this morning that some of my brothers and sisters this morning don't believe that miracles are for today. Perhaps this is you. I have no problem with that. That's okay. I'm not here to convince you otherwise. You can talk to Pastor Phil about that. He's got that all figured out. He's been to seminary. My point is this morning, beloved, that the work is this, that the work of Jesus Christ in your life, whether you call it miraculous or not, what you call it doesn't stop him from doing it. Is the for the purpose of not making much of you, but so that you might know, as it says in John chapter 20 and verse 31, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you and I might have life in his name. That's the point of all that the Lord has done. Of all that he continues to do, whatever you call it, in your life, is so that you might believe this morning. And believe that he is the Son of God. And believe that so that you might have eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's about life in Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about new life in Jesus. I may not possess houses or land, fine clothes or jewelry, the song says, but I have Christ all in my life. This is the difference. This is the difference, beloved. You are not living until you are alive in Jesus. Oh, yes, I get it. You may exist. You may have a social security number. But you are not living until you are alive in Jesus Christ. This is the point that Jesus was making. This is the point he makes this morning. It's about life. It's about life and death, beloved. Is it any wonder that Jesus was willing to give two or three witnesses? This is about life and death. And you see that when Jesus calls his third witness, don't you? He called his third and final witness. Scriptures, the Word of God. Verse 39, chapter 5. Jesus looks at them and he says, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think in them you have what? Eternal life." This is the issue. This is getting to the crux of the matter. This is what the case is all about. You study diligently the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But these are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Isn't it interesting what Jesus says here, beloved? Notice what Jesus does. Jesus concedes a fact. Jesus concedes a good thing on their part. Jesus conceded to the religious leaders that they were diligent in their study of the Scriptures. They pored over the sacred writings. Not a day went by in which they didn't have their own personal Bible study on top of their community Bible study. They knew the writings of Moses backwards and forwards. Jesus' indictment against them was not for them to study more. It was for them to study better. Jesus said that a right study of the scriptures always leads one to Jesus. This is the point. This is the point of it all. This is the point of it all. He said that all the symbols and all the shadows of the Old Testament, all the signs and all the sacrifices of the tabernacle and the temple, all the holy days and the feast days, all point to Jesus Christ. From Adam to Noah, from Abraham to Moses, from Joshua to David, from Isaiah to Malachi, everyone and everything is screaming the same thing. Jesus, Messiah, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, God's only Son, Jesus, believe in Him, Jesus, have life in Him, Jesus, all of it, all of it. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Everything, everything, all the promises of God find their yes and amen. Find their yes and completion and fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the light of God, the love of God, and the life of God. For all who believe in Him, beloved. Listen, listen. Any study of the Old Testament without it ending in the glory and faith in Jesus Christ is fruitless, it's futile, and it's faithless. No matter how diligent or how sincere. Why? Don't miss what Jesus says. There is nothing intrinsically life-giving about studying the Bible. Did you hear what I said? There is nothing intrinsically life-giving about studying the Bible. Like those in Jesus' day, beloved, our Muslim friends, these Hebrew Israelites, many Jehovah Witnesses, and many others spend hours and hours poring over parts of the Bible. You speak to them, and they know the Ten Commandments backward and forwards. They know it in English. They know it in Hebrew. They know it in Arabic. They know it in Greek. They know it in everything else. Why? Because they search the Scriptures believing that the Bible holds the key to a happy and fulfilled life. But what they don't understand is what Jesus said in verse 40. You study the scriptures looking for life, and yet you won't come to me, the one in whom that life is found. For the life that the Bible offers is only life in Jesus. Study, study, study the scriptures all day. Pour over the Bible diligently day and night, beloved. Memorize long passages and recite them eloquently. Without Jesus, your study is in vain. You can talk to many Muslims, and even the Hebrew Israelites on the corners downtown. And I guarantee you, beloved, you talk to some of them, and they're going to know more Bible verses than you do. I remember having a conversation with one, and he quoted a Bible verse to me that I didn't even know existed. And sure enough, it was in there. But you listen to me carefully, beloved. A lot of people know what the Bible says, but don't know what the Bible means. And if you don't know that it all points to Jesus, then you don't get the point. This is what Paul says. Speaking to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The scriptures which you have learned from an early age are that which make you wise unto salvation, but only through faith in Jesus. It only makes sense if you have faith in Jesus. This is the point. This is the ends of the testimony. This is why Jesus has called all the witnesses, so that they would give testimony that there is only one life, and that life is found only in Jesus. And the closing arguments is clear there. Right? The closing arguments is clear. Is Jesus or nothing? Is Jesus or nothing? And as we saw recently, the tape don't lie. John the Baptist didn't lie. The miracles don't lie. The scriptures don't lie. And if I might beg your pardon, at least for this moment right here, I'm not lying. It's Jesus or nothing, beloved. It's faith in Jesus as the Son of God or nothing. It's trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior or nothing. That is the testimony of the saints who have faithfully walked with Jesus. That is the testimony of the signs and the miracles that Jesus performed in this world. But beloved, that is the testimony of the scriptures this morning. Are you not convinced? What will it take this morning? How many more witnesses do you need to hear? How much more testimony must be given? What more will it take for you to believe? What other witnesses does God have to give? Are you not convinced? The saints, the signs, and the Word of God is clear. Would you believe? Would you trust? Would you, this morning, come to Jesus that you might have life in Him? Let's pray.